Hey everybody, welcome to Section 119. This is our football podcast for the week. We're going to be talking everything on the national level in NCAA football and the NFL, talking everything that's happened this past week. I'm Daniel Hansen, and we're here with
Jaden Johnson. Thanks for tuning in. Like Daniel said, every week we're going to be doing every week of the football season, I should say. It might get a little tedious during the off season, but
yeah, it's NFL. It's a year-round
sport. You could talk about football year-round. But while football's going on, we're going to be talking about it every week with at least, you know, 20 to 30-minute segment sections. So if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, you might notice we're missing our third man here.
We had a tragic accident this week with Trevor. Not really. He's just playing flag football, and he values that above us.
I think it's soccer. He's out doing some intramural stuff.
Whenever I hear intramural, I always think it's flag football. I don't know why.
It should be. That's the only one I would play.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Futsal's and that kind of stuff is fun, but
I suck at it. Yeah, so Trevor's out doing that. Good luck to his team. Hopefully they don't do well so that he can be here with us for the rest of our shows.
But we are unbiased. We do not pick sides.
So, anyway, it's just the two of us here tonight. Today, well, it's tonight when we're recording, but who knows when you're listening to this. That's the beauty of a podcast. Today on the show, we're going to run down a little bit of what's going on in college football. It's been kind of a wacky season as far as teams that are surprising that nobody really thought would, and teams that are incredibly underwhelming. So we'll go over college football a little bit, and then about halfway through the show, we'll break into our NFL segment. And we're going to be starting something this week called
Debate Your Case, which we might be doing with the Statesman as well. We'll let you know. But we're just going to pretty much pick a side on an argument, and we're just going to go at each other's throats. So it's going to be like the best part of the segment. Well, actually, pretty much that's what we do all the time anyways, but this is like the official segment of going at your throat.
I actually just said it's going to be called because I didn't know we were going to call it. And so I was hoping you'd pick up from there. I like that. Debate your case. So we're going to end up with that. We'll introduce that later, though. First things first, college football, it was a good week. I mean, depending on who you cheer for, yeah. I guess. But there was some good stuff going on. There was some crazy games.
It was a strange week kind of everywhere. I mean, we had a couple good matchups. Overall, it kind of was lacking a little bit. At least that's kind of what I felt. Then you had Hurricane Matthew kind of destroyed a lot of games.
That was awesome. Did you watch that Notre Dame-North Carolina State game?
I watched it for a bit, but I kind of got confused and thought the Olympics were back on. So I kind of flipped the channel from that. I mean, I thought it was swimming or something.
Olympics?
Yeah, there was puddles everywhere.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that was kind of a bad little turn. But
took me a sec.
Thought Michael Phelps was out there for a minute, but
he would have dominated Notre Dame. But then again, I mean, everyone kind of does this year.
Apparently. Who wins in a foot race or a race on that game? Michael Phelps in the water or any of the players trying to run?
Everybody that's watching.
There you go, America.
that game was insane. The only touchdown of the whole game came on a blocked punt.
Yeah, that reminded me a lot. Field goals. Do you remember back in 2003 when BYU and Utah played and it was a blizzard and it ended 3-0?
Very vaguely.
I remember vaguely too. I remember College Game Day was there. It kind of reminded me of that, where it was just an ugly, ugly game, but you couldn't stop watching it because it was just so fun to see them play in that crap.
Well, I mean, you see a player get tackled and then he just goes sliding for 10 extra yards every time. I was loving that. And then, you know, seeing the few poor fans that were there, especially the Notre Dame fans that were there from Indiana all the way in North Carolina to watch their poor fighting Irish get trounced.
Yeah, it just, that was the embodiment of why you do not play a football game in a hurricane. I don't know why they did not already know that, but it was kind of fun to watch.
Oh, it was.
Probably was terrible to play in, but
I want to see two super high-powered offenses just go at it in that.
We kind of had that a little bit, UNC and Virginia Tech. I mean,
I guess that's true.
UNC's super high-powered offense, people are talking about them as being a really good one in the country. They managed 3 points the one part of that I'm really surprised in is Virginia Tech got like 34 in that game, which was,
well, I mean, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, granted it wasn't as bad as Notre Dame and NC State's conditions, but to put up 34 points in any rain at all is impressive. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Like if we're
even as dreadful as the defense was.
Yeah. Well, Virginia Tech's defense is actually pretty good, too. I mean, Beamer might not be there anymore, but they still kind of play a decent style of Beamer ball there, offense, defense, and special teams. Like, if you're looking at the top 25 right now, if there's any team in there, like, that I would not want to play, which people would like, apart from, like, Alabama, Louisville, and Clemson, on all those, it's probably Virginia Tech. If you're looking at, like, 15 through 25, they're probably, I think they might be the best team out of that grouping there.
Yeah. I don't know. So, looking through the top 25, there was quite a bit of movement this week. I mean, towards the top, not a ton, but you look a little bit further down. Houston jumped down from 6 down to 13. Florida State jumped from 23 up to 14.
Which I don't get.
Boise State jumped 4 spots. Virginia Tech did jump a ton. I mean, 25 up to 17. So, I mean, there was quite a bit of movement right there in the middle of the poll. Arkansas fell 16 to 22. So looking through the poll, what team would you say is ranked too high? What team would you say is ranked too low? And who would you say is just right?
I don't know. There's a couple options you can kind of pick with that. I think Texas A&M is ranked a little bit too high. I want to see them play somebody other than Tennessee before I really put them at 6. Overall, though, it's hard not to say Florida State. At 14, I mean,
agreed. You took mine.
Yeah, the two losses. Yeah, they're against Louisville and who was their other loss?
For
Florida State, they lost to Louisville. Anyways, they've got two losses, and even on the Louisville game, they looked dreadful, and yet they're still a top 15 team. I don't really see that. I mean, granted, there's not a ton of other people you can make a case for.
They lost to North Carolina 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's what it was. So, yeah.
It's not a good loss.
It's not a good loss. Not terrible, but
North Carolina's not terrible, but that's not a good loss.
Yeah.
I'm definitely with you that they're too high. A few others of note that I feel like are a little too high. I think Tennessee is too high.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't drop 9. At all. From last week.
Yeah, to stay at the exact same spot you are after a loss. Given a loss to a good team.
But they also had like 6 turnovers in that game. They did not play well.
Yeah, I mean, it took like a crazy miracle rally from behind like every single one of their games so far this year.
Yeah.
I think that they're a good team. I am not buying them as like a potential playoff team like I've seen some. And I'm not buying them as the number 9 best team in the country.
Yeah, and we'll see this week. They play Alabama, so that's going to be... If they get by that, then I will gladly put them up there. But I don't think they will.
Yeah.
Other one too high.
Might be a good game.
Oklahoma should not be in the top 25.
Get them out.
I mean, again, another team. Their two losses are to Ohio State and Houston. Neither of those are a bad loss.
Man,
but you watch that Oklahoma-Texas game. They play terrible, and the only reason they won is because Texas is even worse than them.
I don't really want to go into this in this podcast today, but how dreadful is the Big 12
this year? You almost feel bad for it because I'm going to draw just a quick parallel here. The Big 12 is what the Big East was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's going by.
There's a couple good teams in there. Like you have like a Cincinnati or somebody like that in there, Pittsburgh, Louisville. But overall, the conference is just bad. And I think they might follow the Big East in 5 years, just not be a conference.
Yeah, I think that's very, very likely the case. As far as two logos, do you see anybody who you think should be a bit higher?
Well, I said Virginia Tech earlier, so I think they should be probably, I would say, like 12. I'd switch them in like Ole Miss or something like that. But another one I'm going to say is probably, I would say Western Michigan, like down in number 24. I mean, yes, it's the MAC and who... Nobody wants to trust the MAC. But Western Michigan's look good. I mean, they had that win over Oklahoma State, I believe, earlier.
That was Central Michigan.
I'd always mix
those people. The directional Michigans. Let me tell you who Western Michigan has beat, and then tell me if you think they're a top 25 team. They beat Northwestern, North Carolina Central, Illinois, Georgia Southern, Central Michigan, and Northern Illinois. I mean, probably the highlight of that is Central Michigan.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Northwestern and Illinois are two lower-tier Big Ten teams, but I mean, we know how hard it is to go undefeated.
No, okay, get me wrong. I'm not hating on Western Michigan. Yeah. I think that they're just about where they should be. I mean, they're 6-0. You can't be better than 6-0 six games into the season.
But my feeling is, if you look at the top 25, though, and this applies to, like, West Virginia, too, and any other unbeaten team, is I don't think you should be putting somebody like Florida State or Ole Miss ahead of them right now, or Oklahoma for sure, Arkansas and Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you should put those teams when we've seen those teams have terrible games.
Yeah, really, no.
This season. That's my thinking with like Western Michigan.
I agree.
Western
some
Michigan.
Of the teams above them should be lower, but some of the teams below them I think should be higher.
Yeah, that could be fair.
As far as too low, I don't know. I feel like Houston should be maybe a spot or two higher. They dropped from 6 down to 13 after a loss against a very, very good team. I think that if they were in a power conference, somewhat like Tennessee, they probably would have dropped a spot or two or maybe three. You know, Tennessee stayed the same after playing a somewhat equally caliber team. Oh, I'm sorry. Houston. No, Houston lost to Navy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a great loss, but still falling as far as they did is somewhat
it's just
too much for me.
It was an AAC team.
Yeah. They just don't get the respect as other teams, and that's just how it is in college football. Too low. As much as I have been hating on the Big 12, I think Baylor may be a little bit too low at 5-0.
I don't think so, to be honest. They have not played anybody. Like, their schedule, at least if my memory serves, might actually be worse than Western Michigan's.
Okay, it is close. You're right. They have played Northwestern State, SMU, Rice, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State. So, I mean, not great. But, however, they have won somewhat convincingly in those.
Yeah, they beat Iowa State by 3.
Yeah. I guess I'll keep them at the
I'm
just
not sold
right
on them,
category.
One team I think, and this kind of sounds maybe a little bit weird, but I think Louisville might actually be too low.
I could go with you on that.
I mean,
the thing is, though,
it's hard to like put them up there, but I would put them at 5, to be honest. And I know we've seen how good Washington is.
You put them in place of Washington?
I
wouldn't.
I put them at Washington at 6. I just think, I mean, we see like Washington crush Stanford, and we've seen Stanford isn't exactly as good as we thought. They also lost convincingly to Washington State this past week. And then, I mean, Louisville's win over Florida State and subsequent battle with Clemson is more impressive than Washington's two blowouts in the past 2 weeks over Stanford and Oregon.
Sure. I'd bump them up a spot over A&M, but I wouldn't put them over Washington. So, moving on from the top 25 to probably the bottom 25. Every week, we have a segment which we call Eat the Cupcake. If you've listened to the show before, you're probably familiar with it. But we like to cheer for underdogs.
And we mean the underdogs of the underdogs.
We're talking like
Kansas.
Like the worst teams in college football. Who doesn't love to see a good upset? So every week what we do is we look at the teams who are favored to lose by more than 20 points. So the 20-point or more underdogs. We look at all the games going on throughout the week, look at the 20-point or more underdogs in college football, and we'll each choose one of those teams as our cupcake team, hence why this segment is called Eat the Cupcake. If that cupcake team happens to win, not just cover the spread, if they happen to win in the following week, you take home a pot of money, which is
$1 a week from each of us. So it's not too
it's
big.
Not, it's not
We
really.
Thought it would greatly increase. First week, Trevor wins. I can't even remember who it was.
Yeah.
But
right now we're going like 4 weeks strong, though. So, I mean, we're going to have,
I think it's up to like $6 or something right now or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a couple good options. Oh, not good options.
There's never a good option. See, the fun thing about this segment is you have to try and convince yourself that a let's be frank, a crappy team is going to beat a good team.
Like, we've had to convince ourselves that Kansas was going to win a game.
Hey, they almost did.
They almost did, but they pulled a Kansas.
So, just going through real quick this week, I have Southern Mississippi at LSU. I know, it's a long shot. Who you got, Daniel?
I've got Colorado State over Boise State.
That's like a 30-something point
underdog. Yeah, 31.5 point underdog. They're going to cover the spread, I think.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to win, but that's my pick. And Trevor over here, he's got Wake Forest, I believe.
Yeah, Wake Forest at Florida State.
That's a good pick. I don't know why they were 20-point underdogs. Wake Forest receiving a couple votes. I mean, Florida State, we've seen them not be that good. Yeah. Wake Forest has been a little bit better than they usually are.
It's all right.
I don't know. Some of the lines look weird to me this week, but.
Yeah. So, anyway, enough of the college football. We've had some good NFL action going on, too.
Much better than college this past week.
I disagree, man. This was probably the worst week of football I've had in years. Yeah,
the results were bad.
Every
the football itself was
single
good.
Team I cheered for. Literally, I made a list for Trevor. I posted it on Twitter. Every single team I cheered for this week, whether it's a team I actually care about or a team I was just rooting for,
lost. You said you were rooting against the Giants and they lost. So there's
okay,
one.
But I wasn't cheering for the Packers, right. Just against the Giants.
Okay, but count your blessings, man.
Yeah. So at this point in the season, we've got two teams. Well, I mean, there's a few teams that are really standing out. But to me, I think in almost every single power ranking you look at, the top two teams you're going to see is the New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings.
Agreed.
What, I mean, are these guys for real? What are your expectations for each of these teams? Is this our Super Bowl matchup this year, the Vikings and the Patriots?
I would not say so, just because postseason play relies heavily on quarterback play. And, well, Bradford looks
look
good.
Look at the Broncos last year. They got nothing out of Peyton.
Well, yeah, no, but that's also because they had Von Miller that pretty much played.
See, so it's not about quarterback play. I mean, it is.
It is. But I'd also say that even
a
terrible Peyton Manning.
I think a defense is much better to have.
It is, but it's also, I don't think the Vikings are on the level of last year's Broncos. And I'd rather have, even though he was not really good at all last year, I'd rather have the old Peyton Manning over the Sam Bradford here in the playoffs.
That's close for me, to be honest, which seems just so weird to say. But
it is.
He's played well.
Like, he's played well. I just don't think – I think he'll be good in the regular season still through the rest of the season. I'm not sure how well he'll do in the playoffs because you also think about who he's probably going to play. The Seahawks, I mean
– yeah. They got the Packers again.
Yeah, the Packers, they'll probably be playing them. I don't even know who's going to be in the other divisions. I mean, Panthers and Cardinals right now, we're not even sure if they're going to make the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah, man, crazy stuff going on.
Patriots, I think, are a safer bet.
Patriots, man. If you bet against the Patriots, you're an idiot. Anytime, if you ever bet against the Patriots, because you just never know with them, man.
Unless they're playing the Giants in the Super Bowl. Yeah, then bet against the Patriots.
That's not going to happen this year because the Giants sure as heck ain't getting there.
Yeah. Especially in that crowded NFC East. They might be the only team I can eliminate from that division right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody else has a shot.
They're still a fight. I'm actually a lot more sold on the Vikings than you are. I think the Vikings are absolutely a contender this year. Their defense to me is the best defense in the NFL. I get the Broncos have a very good team. I think the Vikings is better.
I would say the Seahawks might be best, but
the Seahawks
continue their defense at least. Their offense.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but I'm going to take the Vikings over either of those, at least so far in this season. Who knows what happens down the road. So far, I'll take that. And the offense has been shocking to me, man. They've played some really good teams so far, and they've still looked good. So I think the Vikings, I hate like just going chalk. To me, the Vikings are my Super Bowl favorite from the NFC. Maybe the Seahawks.
Here's what I think.
You can't rule out the Seahawks.
Here's what I think. I think the Vikings finished like 12-4, 13-3. But you think about it, nobody really on that team has playoff experience. And you got the Seahawks who have a ton of it. And then also, when it comes down to it, you're going to have two teams. Like, the defenses for Seahawks and Vikings are very similar
in
level
of
talent. But the offenses, I would much rather have the Seahawks offense. Especially by then, hopefully they have like Christine Michael and Thomas Rawls, and their backs are healthy by then.
You know what, though? I'm not going to rule out the Packers either. I think the Packers are going to still win that division. As crazy, I mean, as like much as it might not look at like it right now, I think the Packers still win the division. But I think that the Vikings go further in the Super Bowl. On the AFC side, I got to go Pats. I mean,
people keep talking about them running the table here. You know what? And it's easy to see them doing that, to be honest.
Let me change that. I think the Patriots will have the number one seed. I think that the Steelers will probably be the Super Bowl team.
I can kind of see that. I just don't believe in the Steelers' defense as much. I mean, they can play good. Like, they had a really good game against Kansas City. But then they just got torn apart by Carson Wentz the week before. Yeah. When you look at it and you have Bill Belichick a week to prepare, possibly 2 weeks in the playoffs, who knows when they'll face off, I would probably give the edge to the Patriots. I would say probably championship weekends of AFC and NFC, I would probably say it's going to be Seahawks versus Vikings. Seahawks win. Patriots versus either the Steelers or I might even say the Raiders right now, to be honest, as a surprise pick. That'd be really – it'd be surprise.
I like it.
It'd be a fun one. I might be saying that because I want to see it more.
They're a fun team to watch.
But I think we have a rematch of Patriots-Seahawks.
Okay, mark this down on your calendar. Do not miss this game. No matter what happens, I don't care what you're doing this Christmas holiday, week 16 in the NFL, Saturday, December 24th, that's Christmas Eve, the Packers and the Vikings play. And that is going to be a game. I'm most excited for that out of the rest of the year. I'm so excited for that. And then, that whole week's got a crazy. On Christmas Day, we've got Ravens and Steelers and Broncos Chiefs. Yeah. So
and we're going to have the NBA. That's like
I don't want to look unofficial. That far forward, but man, that's going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun day.
So one of the big storylines that's going throughout the NFL, and something I'm surprised hasn't been like made a bigger deal of earlier, is how much the NFL is really becoming the no fun league.
Yeah.
A lot of players are calling them out. Ex-players are calling them out. Even some coaches are calling them out. I don't know if you saw last week, Antonio Brown tried to wear cleats that honored Muhammad Ali and was fined.
Yeah, and the week before he did Arnold Palmer and it was perfectly fine. It was okay.
But. And then you get players getting taunting calls left and right, which I agree with some of the time. But celebration calls? Come on.
It's really removing the fun out of it. You think of like every good sports moment from the past couple years. Think like Blue Jays beating the Rangers last year and Jose Bautista's bat flip. You think about every dunk in the NBA where the guy just like hovers over the guy. Taunting makes sports awesome. Like celebration makes sports awesome. If you're going to do like this awesome, incredible feat that only 0.01% of a population can do, then you should freaking celebrate.
I agree.
Like, it's ridiculous that they can't do something after a touchdown.
And I'm going to say the funniest moment of the weekend for me in sports had to be, I don't know if you saw this, Andrew Hawkins from the Browns.
I think I saw this.
Scored a touchdown against the Patriots. And, robotically. You know, typically when a player would be out celebrating and going nuts and having fun with his team, he just walked over to the sideline, set the ball down, and walked off like a robot.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was perfect.
It was so funny. And that's really what the NFL is going to become. Who the hell cares if a player spikes a ball over the goalpost?
I just don't get it because I would think that's really hurting the NFL's ratings.
Who cares?
Because it's fun. I don't know about you, but when like Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson / Oshko Cinco were in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And they always had their celebrations. You watch them every week to see if they scored, but mainly to see what they were going to do after they celebrated. That was the fun part of the week.
I'm going to tell you my favorite all-time NFL celebration. And I believe there was a fine for this, but probably nothing compared to what it would be today. It was when Stevie Johnson was playing for the Bills, and he scored a touchdown against the Jets. And it was like weeks after. It was like, I think it was the first game that Plaxico Burress had come back after he shot himself in the leg. And so Stevie Johnson pretended to shoot himself in the leg and fall over after he scored a touchdown. And it was hilarious.
Two best I can remember. One, Antonio Brown, like jumping 5 yards and bear hugging the goalpost. The greatest moment in NFL history. The other one, it's like 15 years ago or something like that, when Randy Moss was playing for the Vikings And there was like some story with like some Packers fans like mooned their bus as they left the like for a previous game. And so Randy Moss turned around after he scored a touchdown and pretended to moon the crowd. Those are like the two best celebrations I can remember. There's probably some better ones. I mean, but
I could go forever on just how ridiculous this NFL crackdown is, and like just let players play. I mean, be themselves. Like, I get if a taunting is going too far and it's becoming a Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham situation like last year. Yeah, you got to take some action. But you know what? I don't care if you're talking smack and say something about the other player's mother.
Yeah, it reminds me. It kind of goes into like the national anthem stuff a bit, because I've seen like Doug Baldwin was on the Ringers show or something like that, and he was talking about how some owners have told their players, you cannot stand or kneel for the anthem. You cannot do it, or else you will just be off the team or you'll be fined.
It's like, goodbye.
It's kind of a ridiculous thing. Whether or not you agree with that, that is completely unconstitutional.
Yeah, well, and it's in a private setting, so technically no. But
but still.
Let the players play.
It's kind of ridiculous. And then I saw like another tweet today. I think it was Michael Bennett from the Seahawks, who's always vocal about these things, that was talking about that was completely different. I'm going to actually stop that. That was about the NCAA football. Yeah. Michael Bennett talks about too many things to keep track of.
Moving on. I mean, I could go for hours on just how ridiculous it is. Let the players play. So the last thing we want to talk about here is, like, how did you word it? Our
debate your case.
Debate your case. So we're going to take just 5 minutes here. We'll try and keep it to that limit, as much as I could go on this forever. I want to hear you believe.
We've had this.
This is just absolutely.
We've had this discussion so many times.
You believe, honestly believe, that an NFL team could get beat by a college football team.
That's the correct circumstances, yes.
So give me in short terms, give me your case.
It has to be the perfect circumstance. I don't believe, like, even this year, that the Cleveland Browns would lose to, like, Ohio State or Alabama. I think a lot of it goes down to the scheme and the coaching of the teams in place. So if you have a really terrible team, like the 0-16 Lions or a Cleveland Browns team or Raiders when they had Lane Kiffin, some bad coach with a bad team playing a terrific college football team like Alabama in one of their national championship years, or an Ohio State team that's one of their really good years, with a really good coach like Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, who puts players in good positions, does really good schemes, tricks defense, and outcoaches their opponents pretty much. In those cases, I think the college football team has a shot. Okay. In the long run, the NFL team probably wins more games, but like if it was a 7-game series, I think the college team would steal 2 games.
Absolutely not. No way. I think if they play 10 games, the closest a game gets is maybe 30 points. Not even close. Look, okay. Do you think the very worst college, and this is different, I get, but it's going to relate. Do you think the very worst Division I FBS team would lose to the very best high school football team? No, you don't.
It's kind of difficult because there are – high school is a little bit different because, like, you look at some of the teams down in, like, Texas, all of those players are, like, 4 or 5 stars.
You think they're going to be SMU?
SMU is not the worst team.
Okay, you think they're going to be – I don't know.
Like UCF last year or something? I think so. I mean, a lot of this, I don't look at the talent so much. Of course, there's a talent difference between NFL and NCAA or NCAA in high school. Of course there is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this stuff goes to coaching. I mean, we've seen it with the Aggies. No. I mean, look at, like, Utah State this past week. We lost to Colorado State. Do we have more talent
than
Colorado State?
Listen, I asked you a question. Let me make my case. Do you seriously believe a high school team could beat a college team?
In the certain circumstances, yes.
Okay, you're off your rocker. Because here's the thing. The very best high school football team is going to have about 10. Do you agree with this? The very best team is going to have about 10 FBS players.
No. Do you look at some of the schools down in, like, Texas? They have rosters full of talented players. Their job, those people recruit those people. They're almost a college program themselves.
The very best college teams, including Alabama of those years, gets about 7 up to 10 players. I believe the 2008 2008 Alabama team. Is that the 2009 team that went undefeated and won the national championship? They had, I looked, and it's closer to 11, maybe 12 players that went to the NFL and made rosters. Most of those not in meaningful positions. A few of those starters, about half of them starters in the NFL. So if out of that entire team, you got about five, maybe six NFL starters. Guess how many you have on an NFL team? 22.
Okay, first of all, NFL starters, just because you start does not mean you are a good NFL player. Dan Orlovsky is not a good NFL quarterback. He was starting for the Lions. Second of all, I'm looking at the
20. It means you're a good football player.
It doesn't
mean if you are a starter well. In the NFL, you are a hell of a football player.
Okay, you are, but it does not mean you're going to play well, because when your coaches have a lot of say in that. Two, I'm looking at the 2012 draft picks and NFL signees from the 2012 Alabama team. They had 17 people that signed contracts. And there's a lot of those players.
Signed contracts. Okay, well, the Aggies had, like, what, 11 or 12 that signed contracts, and there's, like, three or four on rosters that actually do things.
They have, like, 17 total.
There's a big difference between signing a contract and
playing on
the team.
The Aggies have 17 total in the NFL right now that have either, like, had contracts recently or in practice squads.
And you got, like, four of those that are doing meaningful things?
Yeah, Alabama had 17 in 1 year. That's also the thing, is you have 4 years of players on that team.
And how many of those are doing anything meaningful? About three, four, five.
Mark Barron, Dante Hightower, Dre Kirkpatrick, Courtney Upshaw's on that team. That's four that were just drafted. You have several others that were making teams. Trent Richardson was on this team. He was terrific when he was on in Alabama. And again, it goes back to coaching. I mean, Ron Marinelli, when he was coaching the Lions in 2008 when they went winless, he was terrible. Like, let's be honest. Like, if you have a bad coach, it takes away a lot of your talent. If you have a good coach, it gives you a lot more talent. We see it all the time. A team with a lot less talent upsets a good team or better team because their coach coaches out of their minds. And I think that's the one factor you do not account for in this, is that Nick Saban is a terrific coach. Ron Marinelli is a terrible coach. When Nick Saban went to the NFL, he took the Dolphins to a 10-6 record.
Okay, listen, but okay, every time that you hear about players transitioning from the college football to the NFL, they're always saying it is incredible, the talent differential. It's a huge talent differential from college to the NFL. Players are saying it themselves all the time. And that's not just because it's the best of the best. It's also because they're playing against the best of the best. And they have seasoned. They have a lot more time to develop. They're playing more time. They're playing year-round. These are guys that have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-plus years on the college guys of playing experience. It's not just that they get the best of the best. It's that they have more experience as well.
Okay, there's that. But then you also look at – think of, like, the game playing out. Like, you have 2008 Lions playing, like, 2012 Alabama. Alabama had a really good defense that year, like terrific, like first in the entire nation. They allowed 10.9 points a game. Detroit, their offense was like 27th in the NFL, so they weren't that great. You have really good athletes in the secondary there in Alabama. You had a couple people that have actually made careers in the NFL. How many picks do you think Dan Orlovsky throws? How many times do you think that the defense is able to trick Dan Orlovsky?
Not many.
I think three interceptions at least in that game.
He didn't throw three interceptions in many games that entire year. I mean,
that's because he also didn't throw too much.
Okay, he was also playing against teams, you know, he was playing against the Minnesota Vikings, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was playing against NFL teams.
Okay, didn't throw much.
Yeah, he looked bad. He was playing NFL teams. He looked bad because he was playing an incredibly huge talent differential. He was a good player in college, and then he went to the NFL, and he wasn't because he was playing much, much, much better teams.
Yeah, and a lot of those players, like Dan Orlovsky, when they played Alabama, they played like crap too, because Alabama also had really good players. Some of the high upper-level FBS teams have really good players, and a lot of the players that go to the NFL oftentimes don't even get a chance because they're just undrafted, and they are pretty much distant to be cut from the squad anyways if they do get a contract. I think that the talent level in the very upper FBS compared to the very lowest of the NFL is close enough that if you have a good coach versus a terrible coach, that it can be enough to steal a couple games.
Very much disagreed, but that's the beauty of sports.
I'm getting heated talking about this, so we're probably going to cut it here, but we're going to turn this over to the listeners here.
I want to know what you guys think.
We're going to put a poll on Twitter. We're going to try and publicize this with the Statesman as well and try and see what you guys think. So
tell Daniel how
ridiculous that is.
And tell Jaden how utterly wrong he is thinking that the Detroit Lions can be counted on for anything.
So we're going to be counted on to beat the Crimson Tide.
I don't think they can be counted on all the
anyway,
time.
Anyway, we're on
so
Twitter.
We'll put a poll out. You'll see it. We'll retweet it. Hopefully Statesman and some other people do.
We're on Twitter at 119 Sports. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think.
Give us a reply even. If you think one of us is an idiot, Jaden, then you can tell us in 140
characters.
At the Grand
Danny.
At Jaden the Jedi.
Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy your next week of football.
Have fun debating that.